Tony Hilton back in the early 80s, it was sort of interesting actually, because we'd been looking at these in trying to attack the inventing of parts of science triple system too. And then during the summer months I went away for a month travelling around Europe and I was ready to go. But by the time I came back to Vermont, it was nice to go and using all these techniques. And the thing that came out of it very nicely was that you could take an edge colouring of a complete graph and try to embed that in another edge colouring of a complete graph where the colour classes are all handled in time. So what it's saying is that you've got a small complete graph here and you're going to colour this any way you want. Right, what I'm going to do is take the sort of pre-assigned edge, this edge has to be the same Hamilton cycle as this edge, and they're the same colour, and so on, and develop it into a Hamilton decomposition of the speaker. So, I find that really quite a captivating kind of result in sort of scheduling my problems where you want to do a whole lot of pre-assigned kind of thing. This one says you can assign a whole lot as long as it's sort of in the same dimensional area and still sort of embed it into a Hamilton decomposition. And I guess we've done a fair bit with that kind of idea. And so here's sort of the immediate extension of that. So what about necessary and sufficient conditions for this, say, an edge colouring of a complete graph? So maybe this is what you gave me in the first place. What I'd like to do is to add, well, like necessary and sufficient conditions that allow me to add vertices, and then I'll go ahead and colour all the edges between it, so that in the end, you've got a complete graph. And each colour class is a k-factor. So once you've got a k-factorization where you gave me no choice about those edges right there. Okay, so just to show you, for example, you could go ahead here and maybe add in, go up to 10 vertices. This kn plus 1's necessary, of course, right? You've got k-factors and n colors, and at each vertex, that's exactly how many vertices you need, and I'm going to click it, so that's a surprise. But, so, for example, I can come along here and say, well, there's only one red edge there so far, so I need to add two more, and maybe I'll add those two edges. Over here, you know, there are already three edges, so I don't need to add any more red edges. Then, so you'll get some of these fixed up, and then finally you might have to put some edges over here, and suddenly you've got this whole free pack. But these aren't sort of done independently of each other. So now you come along and say, well, the blue ones need picking up as well, and so you might add in these edges here, making sure that everything ends up in a degree free. So you extend that to, and then I guess the green ones have to work. You just take the remaining edges, and it looks like a mess anyway. So if you take the remaining edges and make them green, then you've taken this original edge colour of K5 and embedded it into a free factorization of 10. Yes. So you're given K, you're given these. Well, okay. Good stuff. Maybe this will answer the question. Okay, so get rid of all this. Okay, so what we've got here is a complete graph which has been edge coloured. And you've got so various colour classes here. In terms of necessary condition, you don't have to worry about this too much, but epsilon here is just the number of edges in a smallest colour class. But I'll show you why in a second. Don't worry about it too much. Here are necessary and sufficient conditions for you to be able to embed that edge colour complete graph into a k-factorization of a complete graph on kn plus 1 vertices. Okay, so what do they say? Well, this one's obvious, right? This one here says that each vertex in the graph you give me had better have degree less than k in each colour class. It's not fair if you've got a vertex over there that's using with four green edges and you tell me go and embed this in a three factorization of a complete graph, I don't have a chance, right? So that's clear. This one here just says, what, if k is odd, is n is odd? Well, you know, if you've got a k factor, then look at one k factor, you've got a k regular graph, so if k happens to be odd, you better have an even number of vertices. What does that mean? N is not the number of vertices, right? Kn plus 1 is the number of vertices, so that has to be that's a little bit and what about this one? Okay, probably there are a couple of ways of looking at it, but I think this is the easiest one, this little orange thing down here, which says, okay, you notice what I did with the red edges over here. Basically, I said if they have degree less than or equal to 3 at the moment, I know what I have to do. I've got some edges that have to be put in here in order to boost these up to degree 3. I had to add these kind of edges coming across there. How many edges did I have to add? Well, all of these are meant to have the Greek K in the first place. This is a K new in terms of that over there. But there are already some red edges there. So this number here is just the degrees they should have in the end. This is how many degrees have already been taken care of. So this is how many edges have to go over to my new vertices. And what's this? Well, this is just the number of new vertices I've got times K. So all I'm saying here is that you'd better not have so few edges here, but I'm forced to put in so many edges here that already these vertices over here are forced to have some degree more than K. Right? So it's sort of a reciprocal, if you like, of this condition. Right? The new vertices that I've got that I can't have to add can't be forced to have degree more than K by the numbers. So that's all that says. Okay, so so they turned out to be necessary and sufficient conditions. And let's see now. So how do you prove that? Well, it's really easy using the technique that we just went through. All I'm going to do is form an amalgamated graph with a single amalgamated vertex. Okay? And I know exactly how to do that. You just take one vertex right here, that represents all the new vertices. Yeah? I know exactly how many red edges have to come over here. This only has to bring one, so I have to put exactly two edges there. This has to have one more edge, this has to have one more, this has to have one more. Right? And then, all I have to do is boost this up to having, I know what the F value of this vertex is, and it should be the case that it's got K times F HNs there. So I know how many loops I have to put there. Okay? And then you have to check, all of these conditions help. You know, this condition here says, for example, the number of edges coming over here is not negative. Right, thank goodness for that. This one here says, when you see how many loops you have to put on here, it's not 1.5. Okay, because these are contributing two edge ends, right? So the sum of degrees here minus, you know, the thing that makes it K regular doesn't give you an odd number. And then the last one. So the last one says you don't have a negative number of loops. So those conditions work in perfectly, and of course, you know, there's no problem about things going on top of each other. You know, if you just look at what's going to go from here to here, I know how many blue edges and how many green edges. I mean, everything just takes care of itself. You just put that in there, you know exactly how to do it, you've got no choice, and then you just go to the other theorem and tell you how to pull this up. So immediately you've embedded that into the K-factorization of the complete graph. That doesn't get you the result I mentioned that inspired me in the first place, the one of Tony Hilton's on the Hamilton decompositions, because you need to ensure connectivity as well. And so now you have to add in some extra conditions here in general if you're looking at two-edge connected K-factorizations that Kevin Wantland and I did, and follows from results of Nash Williams as well. So now you're looking to try and get a K-factorization which each color class is two-edge connected. You've got a couple of extra conditions here which basically are saying when you add this stuff in here, you can tie up any components you've got there, and anytime you've got a cut edge, you've got at least one vertex that has an edge coming from either side, so it no longer looks like that. Basically, that's what these two conditions here say. Okay, so I'm just going to leave that there. End up with just a little sort of snippet of other places you can go to using these amalgamations. So as I said, the original motivation for looking at these things for me was to try and get embedding results for partial sine equivalent. To me, one of the results I'd like to see sometimes solved is to end up with a proof of any partial triple system, but the decomposition of some graph will take bridges. Can be embedded in a complete graph of that property for any really greater amplitude, twice the size of the order you start with, satisfy some obvious necessary conditions. This has been used successfully to solve the problem if instead of looking at complete graphs, you look at graphs where there are two or three or four edges between any pair of vertices. If there's an even number of edges, then that has been solved using this technique. So there's some hope that we can get into the odd index as well. We use it in looking at the total chromatic number of complete multiplied graphs. So you know the conjecture here, you're trying to color vertices and edges, right? So the adjacent thing, you get different colors. For complete multi-partite graphs, it has been proved that the most delta plus two colors. But what then is of interest is to decide just when you need delta plus one and when you need delta plus two. Delta doesn't actually do it. So it's a classification problem. Using this technique, we know exactly when you can do it, providing the vertices in one part get all the same color, and in the other part, you use completely different colors on every vertex. And that nearly solves the whole problem. The only part it doesn't solve is where the graph is close to regular. I can see what close means is paper hands. But my conjecture then is you can do the remaining parts by making sure that all the vertices in each part get the same color. So all the parts here get vertices, the part gets color red, all the ones get color green, and so on. It makes it more like a design theory platform than a graph theory platform. So sort of how these things go. Now these two, I can say something about tomorrow. And I really like these results. This one was a result proven by a student, Tony Hilton, at West Virginia, which says that you can start off with a K2N plus 1 and take out any two packs you like whatsoever, then the remaining graphs can be partitioned into the Hamilton cycle. So you get the Hamilton decomposition of a K graph minus any two graph. So I'll say something about that. That comes out of this amalgamation tech very neatly, really nice. And also this kind of problem, maximal Hamilton cycle, so this is asking for which values of K or something can you find K Hamilton cycle in the complete graph so that the complement has no Hamilton cycle. Right, so I'll say something more about that as well. But these kind of things are really asking for an interesting kind of graph to start with. Then hopefully the amalgamation takes care of everything from then on. Okay, so I guess the last thing I'd leave you with then, I guess, is just that I think what this does is it allows you to look for an object that's easier to find than the one that you're really looking for, and then allows the power of this technique to go ahead and get the rest of it for you. And hopefully I'll give you a flavor of that tomorrow.
Today's for both weeks is going to be a hump day.